It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkins with you. We are officially shifting from looking back at Buffalo, trying to learn the lessons from that 45-13 win that looked worse on paper than it did on the field, I think, at the end there. Going into the third and final non-conference game of the season, the fourth and final installment of the Penn State-Pitt rivalry series. Penn State opens as a 17-point favorite. We'll see where the action takes them going towards kickoff. I'll be very interested to see if that line balloons or if it shrinks a little bit. I suspect, despite what happened in the first 30 minutes against Buffalo, I suspect that 17-point line is going to grow. It's more likely to grow than it is to shrink. We'll see. Pitt comes in 1-1, a loss to Virginia, a win last week 20-10 over Ohio. They've got their own stuff to sort out. So we'll look ahead at the ins and the outs of the matchup. But, obviously I think as this series is about to end, Greg, you got to look at the conversations that have led us to this point where, they come back and I think they pleased a lot of fans by bringing this series back. Pitt wants to renew it. Penn State doesn't have a whole lot of interest in right. that. Should they have a whole lot of interest in that? Economically, I think no. What are you looking for from a non-conference team in this era of college football? I think you're either looking for home dominant matchups or you're looking for an opponent that brings a little bit of relevance to the table that can maybe boost your college football playoff resume if you're a program that has a legitimate hope for that. I don't think Pitt really checks either of those boxes at home and home against a team that's, I would say middling at best.
Yeah, I just don't think it makes any sense, especially when you look at the future schedules and, Penn State is at Virginia Tech. So next year is a very interesting year in the non-conference slate. Nevada, Virginia Tech, and San Jose State. I mean, San Jose State's not all that interesting. In fact, I forgot they had a football team. But the other two certainly are. And then you look the year after that, Ball State, Auburn, and Villanova. Ohio, Auburn, Central Michigan in 2022. West Virginia, Delaware, and UMass in 23. West Virginia and Bowling Green in 24. Virginia Tech and Villanova in 25. And at Temple in 2026 is the only game on that schedule. So I think at the absolute best case scenario, you're looking at 2026 or 2027 until Penn State Pitt resumes. But what's the advantage at this point for Penn State to play that game? If you lose to Appalachian State, it's not as if, you're expected to win that game, of course, but people have been got by App State before. So, but when you lose to Pitt, you're supposed to blow them out. You've done it for, a million years. The all-time series record heavily favors Penn State. I just don't know if there's a benefit unless it's going to be simply a game at Beaver Stadium, and Pittsburgh's never going to agree to that. So, Penn State has a 52-43-4 all-time mark in the series. To me, Dustin, this is meeting 100 between the two schools, and we don't need 101 anytime soon.
I think it's fitting that they're going to end here on meeting 100. I think the Pitt coming to Beaver Stadium brings a certain level of energy. And, I've been pretty clear about, economically, and I think in terms of you can only really lose by playing Pitt home and home every single year. You lose revenue because you're giving up a home game every other year. If you lose the football game, you have a chance of losing some of your footing on the recruiting trail, particularly in Western Pennsylvania. You don't want to give Pitt any advantages. If Pitt loses the game, that's just kind of par for the course in terms of expectations. Penn State can only lose in this matchup, but I just think, if you the ingredients of a rivalry, the big ingredient is a general disdain from a fan base to the other team. And this series has that, on both sides in spades. They don't like each other very much at all. The coaches don't like each other very much at all. The players don't like each other. Jimmy Morrissey, a Philadelphia kid, Pitt's center, their starting center, you know, right after they beat Ohio. Not in spectacular fashion, mind you. This was not a blowout win over Ohio. This was a workmanlike performance. Pitt beating Ohio goes out of his way to say that he doesn't like Penn State one bit and that he's a walk-on who wouldn't have accepted a scholarship offer from Penn State. So
I'm not so sure that's true.
That's it is. Yeah,
it is
that's
now.
Exactly
I'm not sure
thought.
It would have been true back then.
Like, hey, you know, this – It costs $60,000 a year to go here. We'll give you $240,000 to come play offensive line for us. Nah, I'm good.
No, I don't want it.
I don't like you one bit.
Right.
So it's easy to say now. But you can see what this game and what this opponent does to both teams. I don't think you'll hear a whole lot more about it. Certainly from Penn State's side, they're going to be brought definitely up to speed on what the talking points are. For this Pitt game, it's the same as any other game. We respect their program, we respect their players, we respect their coaches. Hey, I got buddies, you know, it's going to be fun playing against. That's what you're going to hear this week. But behind the scenes, boy, I think Penn State wants to destroy Pitt, and Pitt obviously wants to do the same to Penn State.
Right, exactly. So it should be a good game. You know, I know that the rivalry means a lot to Penn State and Pitt fans that go back and remember how it used to be, you know, to the guys on the field right now, outside of the ones that have like a Whippy old connection, like Lamont Wade or a PA connection. Yeah. I just don't know. It just doesn't mean what it used to mean. And that's the other thing about this game, you know, is it going to sell out Beaver Stadium? Yeah. But you know what? Beaver Stadium had 104,000 people in it the last 2 weekends. So they're doing just fine on that front, no matter who they play. So I think that we probably won't see this series rescheduled anytime soon. I think it just doesn't mean what it used to mean, and that combined with what we talked about in terms of the lack of benefit Penn State gets from this game just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to reschedule it.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking ahead to Penn State Pitt Beaver Stadium noon kickoff this Saturday, week 3, the final non-conference game for the Nittany Lions. If you're looking at this game or any other home game on Penn State's schedule and you're trying to come up with some travel plans for it, I think you got to start at gopsurv.com. If you want an alternative to the hotel experience, you want a chance to tailgate the entire weekend, why just limit it to a few hours before game time? Do it the whole weekend. Come on Friday, leave on Sunday. You get a ride to Beaver Stadium and back. You don't have to worry about much there. You can spend it tailgating, watching more college football, you know, in the case of a noon kickoff against Pitt, watching Saturday night games from the lot while you tailgate. It's a really good deal. You can check it out at gopsurv.com, the ultimate tailgating experience. Looking back at last year's game here, Greg, first of all, Sean Clifford threw a touchdown pass in this game. But Pitt came in looking to run the football. They came in, you know, when they had success against Penn State in 2016 before this Penn State program really became this Penn State program. Mm-hmm. This was a game where Pitt built a big lead. They did it. You know, they had some jet sweep success and that kind of stuff. Kenny Pickett last year, 9 out of 18 for 55 yards. Kenny Pickett threw for 8 yards against Clemson in the ACC championship game. How Pitt's playing in the ACC championship game is beyond me. But this was not – Penn State had his number. And I guess my question is, will Penn State have his number again? Is this something that whether it's Kenny Pickett just not being a great quarterback, whether it's Penn State, you know, having the ability to dare him to throw it and him not being able to do that. You know, the running game takes a step backwards in a number of ways this year, so I don't know if they have the ability or not. Certainly, you know, when it comes to Pat Narduzzi's preference, he would love to replicate Buffalo's success. Can they do it? Can Kenny Pickett beat them if he's asked to?
Well, I think the thing is, it all comes down to Penn State secondary play, because Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator at Pitt, is sort of familiar with Penn State's defense. You know, his son Austin was a part of the Penn State program at one time. So the question I have is, how does Kenny Pickett throw for a career high 321 yards in a win over Ohio and the Panthers only score 20 points? That I don't have the play-by-play in front of me, but that doesn't really add up if you throw for that many yards and don't score more points. So I think he's turnover prone. I think he's boring. I was kind of falling asleep as you were talking about him because he just puts me to sleep.
Is it me or him? It's him. Okay, it's definitely him.
Definitely him. Yeah, yeah. It's not me. It's you. You know, they're going to try and come out and beat Penn State through the air, and they're going to try and do some of that, you know, stuff at the line of scrimmage, the twists, the turns, the cuts, the sweeps, the stuff that we've seen Pitt do every game in this series, dating back to the win in 2016 out there. So, you know, do I think that Penn State will be challenged by the Panthers? Yeah, because they were challenged by Buffalo. But do I expect them to really have a competitive game in the end? I think by the time the fourth quarter is about midway through, Penn State should have this in the bag.
I think you're at your best, Greg, when you're asking yourself questions and you're answering them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why even give me the opportunity? Like, you're a one-man interview crew, and I love that about you. I fell asleep
it's
while
the
you're
extra
doing
cup of coffee. Yeah.
get into self Q&A mode. So Penn State a 17-point favorite. You know, I think it's, you know, in the case of Buffalo, there were some nervous moments. But if you're at a severe talent deficit, which I think, I don't know if severe is the best way to put it for Pitt, but they're at a pretty significant talent deficit just across the board. You know, they're picking at scraps that Penn State's leaving behind in the state of Pennsylvania. They're leaning on a lot of three-star kids and trying to develop them and try to, you know, find guys who fit their identity. Penn State's getting a lot of elite athletes. I think over the course of a 60-minute game, it's hard to be at that level of talent deficit and be a real factor to win it. And I think you're going to see that unfold at Beaver Stadium, where maybe Pitt finds a little success early. They use some gimmicks or some stuff that wasn't on film, some of the things that you alluded to that, you know, maybe Penn State needs a half, hopefully a little faster from James Franklin's point of view, to adjust to whatever Pitt's trying to do to him. But I just think that there's just not a ton of impressive athletes on Pitt's side. Two of them are at safety, you know, Paris Ford and DeMar Hamlin, guys that Penn State was very interested in when they were prospects. But, you know, I think offensively there's going to be some limitations. I'm not sure if Pitt's going to be able to do what Buffalo could do, certainly over the course of four quarters. So Penn State a 17-point favorite. I haven't written my prediction down on paper yet.
Wow.
I'm sure that you haven't yet either, but what is your sense on what's going to happen, what the final score
is? So I was receiving a lot of mocking from Bob Flounders about my 55-point prediction for Penn State Buffalo, and it turns out I got a little bit closer to that than I thought. I'm not going to fall into that trap this week, though. It's a little bit better of a defense that Penn State will face this week. I think Pitt will try and do some things to move the ball. If Buffalo had 19 play drives, it's conceivable the Panthers will too. Penn State wins. It's not as maybe easy to end up looking. I have it 38-17.
I got 34-14. I think we're along the same lines. I think Penn State's going to cover. Could be a sneaky cover.
Yeah,
like it was against Buffalo.
That was brutal. If you had to, under or Buffalo,
that's a tough deal. That's a tough deal. I think at the end of this game here, explosiveness is going to make a difference. You know, chunk plays are going to be in Penn State's favor much more so in Pitt's. That's how I think it's going to go. What I think the difference is going to be. Jerry DePaula is going to join us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review to tell us a little bit more about Pitt's situation and explain what the Panthers got going into Beaver Stadium. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.